I need to shut that off. Thank you. Was that better? Good. Yes. All right, we are in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. We have went through the first five chapters which deal with the doctrine of salvation. It leaves man in a total depraved state. The whole world is guilty before God. That's total depravity in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God. Total depravity. And in need of Christ, the only hope, the only answer. And when you leave chapter 5, you are privileged to leave chapter 5 enjoying the throne of grace, instead of the throne of sin and death and the law. And that's a privilege. And then as you enter chapter 6, 7, and 8, you find out how to live for Christ in this body, which is not redeemed, which has not been transformed. It is an old, called the old man, the old nature. It's sinful. In chapter 6 and chapter 7 gives us, chapter 6 teaches us the pathway to that victory. Chapter 7 is a personal testimony of the Apostle Paul, which testified he was carnal, he was wretched, and then in his flesh was no good, and seeking for answers. And that brings us into chapter 8, which brings us to victory. And it's all about the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us. And we saw all that the Spirit of God does for us and brings us to a knowledge that many people quote but don't have a clue what it means. In chapter 8, verse 28, the first thing somebody will say, well, all things work together for good. That's as far as they go. And a lot of people are guilty about that. They use things for their own benefit. To further their own agenda and not telling the entire, whether it's a verse, or whatever. A lot of people are guilty about that. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And what God is doing in chapter 8, Paul tells us, you better know this. You better know this because in chapter 6, 7, know you not, know you not, know you not, know you not, over and over, know you not, when he comes to chapter 8, verse 28. We know, we better know this when we come to this passage, that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. And if anybody loves God, the same is known of that person. A person that has a path behind them of chaos and all kinds of chaotic activity and bad testimony and so forth doesn't know what the love of God is. And that's sad. That's sad. But anyway, that's who it applies to them that love God. And he is doing something in chapter 8, verse 28. He is conforming us to the image of his Son. That's all in preparation for us to serve him, to serve him. So when you come to chapter 12, out of chapter 8, you come right into chapter 12. In the middle, you have the three chapters that deal with Israel, chapter 9, 10, 11. We'll study them separately after we study chapter 12 through chapter 16. This has to do with service. So the first five chapters has to do with the doctrine of salvation because of the total depravity of man. Chapter 6, 7, and 8 has to do with the doctrine of sanctification. That means to make holy, to separate apart, be separated I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And we are preparing in chapter 6, 7, and 8, preparing our body for the presentation in chapter 12. And we saw that last week. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Most sacrifices are dead. Well, the body's got to, not the body dies, but the deeds of the body. The Holy Spirit of God, back in chapter 8, the Holy Spirit of God puts to death the deeds of our body. So it is not active. And we have responsibilities to the Holy Spirit. We're to be led by Him. We're to be filled by Him. We're not to grieve Him. We're not to quench Him. And so forth. We have a lot of responsibilities. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And so we present our bodies now that we've come through chapter 6, 7, and 8, and we understand that God is conforming my body in my life to the image of Christ. Now, not in physical form, God's Spirit. So it's not in a physical feature that He's conforming us, but it's like Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Son carried the characteristics of God. The Son carried the very character and the very nature of God. He was God in the flesh. When God said, let us make man in our image, back in creation, let us make man in our image, He wasn't speaking about a physical image that we know of. He meant in our conduct, our character, in our attributes, what we are like, let us make man. Didn't take long for the devil to come in and disrupt that. So that's what He's doing today, where our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And He lives within us. And so because of that, we are to reflect the Spirit of God in our bodies. We are to reflect Him in our daily lives. And by that, those nine fruits, love, joy, peace, and so forth. And love stands out at the utmost. Now, so as our bodies are now presented for God to use, second, there's got to be a transformation. Verse 1 of chapter 12, there's the presentation. Chapter 12, verse 2 is the transformation. Now, our bodies are being transformed and conformed to the image of Christ day by day. It's a daily activity. And sometimes we slip back a little bit one day. We lose some ground, we gain it back. That's just the way we are. Someday we'll be perfectly sanctified. When we see Him, we shall become like Him. Today, many of us struggle. Many of us struggle. We are to bear that image day after day of the image of Christ who lives in us. Now in verse 2, we got to have something changed, and that's our mind. Wow, that's harder than the body to be changed. Now remember, the body is not saved. The body is not redeemed. And what the answer is in Romans chapter 8 is, let the Holy Spirit put to death the deeds of the body every day. What the body would like to do, put them to death. Don't let them become active. That's the way the body can be open for service for God. So then it begins very clearly, and be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world. Why is that important? Don't, and the word conformed means to be like. I can't be like the world and be like Christ at the same time. Back in 8:29, Romans 8:29, He is conforming us to the image of His Son. That's what He's doing. That's why all things work together for good. So He's conforming us to be like Him. Now when you get over to 12 and we're presented our bodies for service, He said, now, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be like the world. Let Hollywood establish something new, and where do you see it? Some new fad, some new fashion, some new hairdo, or some type of physical appearance, the tattoos, and so forth. And where do you sit? Where do you sit? It really bothers me for people, some of these ball players, why they want to mark their body up like it. You know, the Old Testament condemned that under the law, marking the body up. We were made in the image of God. God created us. And to mark it up and all of that, God's not in that. That's the world. And then you see Christians, these rock star singers, Christian rock star singers, got hair down the middle of their back, earrings and all their noses and ears and lips and tattoos all over them up there singing about Jesus. That's absolutely forbidden. God doesn't use marked up bodies. I'm conforming you in 8:29 to be like me. And then if you present your body to me in chapter 12, verse 1, then don't look like and act like the world. That's pretty clear. And I didn't say that. Boy, I get kicked a lot. Man, do I get kicked a lot. Just by telling people what God said. And people don't like it. Because we live in a day today where people, and somebody quoted this week. I've had a busy week. Wow. Extremely busy week. And I love that. I'm not complaining. I'd rather be out running than sitting in a rocking chair looking out the window. But somebody put on something, Facebook or somewhere, concerning this problem of looking like the world and acting like the world and conforming to the world. And they said something that it just left my mind. I can't remember exactly how they stated it and what they said about it. But it is a disgrace to see these people that claim to be, you know, Christian and act like, supposed to be, sing like, preach, whatever. And it's something you looks like out of a Hollywood movie, I don't know. That's not the standard of God. God says, I want you to act like me, look like me, resemble me, and then I'll send you, because your body is the temple. And I don't want you to take your body and mark it all up and mess it all up and look like the world. God condemns that. God condemns that. Now, there are those that like to take these verses like that and take it to extreme, and we call that the doctrine of legalism. And boy, back when I grew up as a Christian back in 79 and 80 and so forth, boy, it was big in fundamentalism, how long your hair was and so forth, what kind of glasses you wore, and oh, it was sickening. It just made you sick. Legalism. This is not what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about being legalistic. We don't conform to the world because we got a message we're carrying. And if I'm carrying the message of Christ and yet I look like the world, how am I going to reach the world? I can't reach the world if I'm like the world. We don't become like the world to reach the world. That's like a lot of the philosophies of the churches today. We've got to reach the young people, so we throw away all of our standards, and we have pool parties and nudity, and we do all this rock, hard rock, mute, because this is what young people, and we're going to reach them. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. No. Be not conformed to this world. Now, the way that is possible is to have your mind changed. And we got to have to change our mind about some things. First of all, we got to change our mind about ourselves. So some people are so full of themselves. When you open up the gift, nobody's happy. It's all full of me and I and so forth. The mind has got to be transformed, and this is not easy to digest. This is not easy to comprehend. We've got a computer that God made here. It's a computer. The older it gets, the more malware it gets in it, more viruses it has in it, the more malfunction it does. And you don't have senior moments, you have 24-hour moments. And sometimes it's complicated, and it doesn't work very well, and so forth. But the mind has got to be transformed. And as I said in closing last Wednesday night, that word transformed is exactly the same word as transfigured. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and was transfigured right before them. And he glistened and glowed as they saw him in different form. And that word here, transformed, is the same word as transfigured. Changed. It's changed. Now, we've had our body, and it's under discipline by the Holy Spirit of God. And every time it wants to do something, the Holy Spirit of God, if we yield to him, puts it to death immediately. Puts it to death immediately. Puts it to death. That's yielding. That's what chapter 6 says. Yield your bodies. Yield. Don't give in. Yield. And so the mind now is left to be changed. And I'm afraid that is one of the last things that we're willing to let go of, because in the mind is the will. That's where the will lies. And if we're ever going to get to the last part of verse 2, there's four words there we looked at. If we're ever going to come to the knowledge of those last four words of verse 2, then something's going to have to happen in the mind. And in the mind is where our will is. And I want to tell you, we're stubborn. We're stubborn. Our minds are stubborn, strong-headed, strong-willed. And we've got to have that changed. Now, how do we have that changed? Philippians, hold your finger there in Romans. Philippians chapter 2. I'm teaching now the book of Philippians. We finally got through the book of Ephesians. It took us the whole semester, last semester, to get through the book of Ephesians. I got to teach this semester the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, and Philemon before the middle of May. In chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to have the mind of Christ. That means to think like him. If we think like him, then we act and react like him. And the mind of Christ will have something transforming in our minds. And you look over to chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, as he brings to a close this very heartwarming book, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those are the things that our minds need to be saturated with, because our bodies are being conformed to his image as we walk into the path of service that he wants to use us for. And so we are to carry those attributes of God in our heart and life. They're to be portrayed, and those fruits of the Holy Spirit and so forth. And that can't be done unless the mind's changed. The mind's got to be connected to the body. The mind's got to be connected to the body. I haven't prayed this as often as I used to pray it. I used to pray quite often, and sometimes every day, Lord, let me see today like you see. Lord, let me see today as you see. Let me see people as you see people. Let me think today like you think. I don't pray that as often. You get old. You don't. Boy, it's awful to get old. Boy. Especially you got a busy schedule. And you let things fall by the wayside. So anything. In verse 9, he says to them after telling them what to think about. He just told them, these are the things you ought to be thinking about. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. What a great promise. You want the peace of God to be with you? Change your mind. Change your mind. Let God change your mind. Now that's difficult sometimes to do. But we got to have our minds transformed. I'll tell you, a person that has their mind transformed, you know a difference. And you can tell what's on a person's mind by what they talk about. I read some people's things that they put on Facebook. I'd be ashamed. It shows their ignorance, stupidity. It shows that they're lost in this world and don't have a clue. I'd be ashamed. A born-again Christian, I don't know, as I close the message Sunday morning, ought to know the time and ought to know what to do concerning the time we live. And it's evident that people have no clue where we are in this world today in comparison to the return of Christ, because our minds have never been changed. Their minds have never been changed, and they don't like preaching like this. They don't like teaching like this because it exposes them. And so they get mad, they get angry, they get upset, and they get furious, threatened. That's not Christ. The mind has got to be changed. If we're going to go on, we can present our body, but if our mind and will is still under my control, God's not going to use us. God's not going to use us. Now, so we don't act like the world. We can't be conformed to the world, but we got to have this transformed. Why? By the renewing of your mind that you may prove. That means put to test. The word prove means to test it. If you got the mind of Christ, then you can test what is good. People today don't know the difference between good and evil. People today are calling evil good and good evil. They're blinded. That's like Israel. When Jesus came to the nation of Israel, Israel is a lot like many people today in our country. When Jesus came to the nation of Israel, they called him Satan. That's what they said. He's Satan. And they don't know the difference. It's blindness. People blinded. And it's sad. It's really sad. We got to be able, if we have our mind changed and it thinks like Christ, responds like Christ, we are able to put to the test what's right and what's wrong. What's good and proper and what is not. We got the spiritual discernment. If we got this transformed mind. And I want to tell you, you'll be in a league all of your own. Because many of your friends will say, I don't want to be your friend anymore. I don't want to be your friend anymore. You don't think like I want you to think. You don't act like I want you to act. You don't say what I want you to say. It's going to get worse. They may be able to prove, may be able to put to the test that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how we move toward the avenue of God using me. I've known people that have been, they say, oh, I've been in church all my life, I've been in service all my life, and they've never accomplished one thing. They've never accomplished a thing. Never done a thing. I've said to people, how many people have you led to Christ in all those years? If you've been in church all those years, why isn't your family in church? Why isn't your children and grandchildren in church? You've been in church all these years, and none of your children go to church, and none of your grandchildren go to church. Something wrong. Something wrong somewhere. Now, we can't force people against their will. I can't force my children against their will or my grandchildren. I wouldn't attempt it. They have to want. But something's wrong when the generation, the next generation, there's something wrong when they have no desire. No desire for spiritual things. There's something wrong. We've got to be able to put to test, and I'm going to tell you, in these days in which we live, in these trying times, in these most difficult dark age in which we're approaching and living in, we've got to be able to know. If we got the right mind, we can be able to determine and discern what is right and what is wrong, what's acceptable and what is not acceptable. But if we don't have them, we are blind. Our minds are blind. This is so appropriate and so important for this day in which we live. It's not what people say. Just words. It's air. It's air. Floats in the air. And just remember, you can't take them back once they're out there. And people, I've told people and I've told myself many times in the mirror, it'd be better if you'd be quiet. The best thing spoken many times, the best words spoken many times is nothing. Nothing. We've got to be able to discern with this transformed mind as we are being conformed into His image through the working of God in my life back in 8:28 and 29. He's conforming me to His image. That's day activity. As we evolve more like Him day by day, then we present this body to Him for service, and then we have to have our minds transformed so that I can be able to put to the test every day that I live what's right, what's acceptable, and what's perfect in His will. Very few people live there. Very few people live there. Very few. He's preparing us for service. For service. Now, so we present our body in verse 1. We get our mind transformed in verse 2. And we do that so we can be able to test what's right. I asked the students yesterday, I said, would you accept, and you have to answer this in your heart, would you accept that which is good, or would you accept that which is better? That's a tough question. Would you accept that which is good, or would you accept that which is better? Think on that for a while. Let that digest. And that's exactly what Paul prayed for in the Philippian church. To take what they had, which was okay, it was great, to take what they had and make it better. And I challenged them yesterday down to college. Let God this year take what you already have and make it greater and better. Don't just settle in for, well, this is good. God wants to take us further and further and further. Don't accept that which is good. I want to be better than good. Amen? Amen. That ought to be our desire. That ought to be our heartbeat. That ought to be our inner motive and drive. Now, in verse 3, he says, now he's getting ready to prepare to equip them. I worked in electric, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, appliance repair. I worked in that for many years. I also worked in construction, so forth. I've done a lot of things. I was a heavy equipment operator. I've had my hand in a lot of things, and I had to be trained. I had to be trained, and I had to learn. And the guy I worked for, he taught me real well. When you pull wire into a box, it has a copper wire, it has a black wire, and it has a white wire. And you strip that out, and then you put them on the switch, or you put them on the plug, whatever you're pulling. And we was wiring one day, we was putting the switches and the plugs in after the drywall was all done. That rascal, as I was getting them in and I was getting ready to hook up the plug, he went and turned the power on. And I had a hold of the white one and the black one at the same time. Guess what happened? I told him, I said, I don't think very much of that. He just laughed. He said, I just wanted to teach you. It may save your life someday. You're learning. Don't ever take them, hold them both at the same time. He said, I didn't do it. You did it. Did it teach me anything? Yep. You better believe it. I never touched them both at the same time again. Maybe saved my life. Now, God's going to prepare us. He's going to equip us. Just like an electrician has to be equipped with the right tools. You can be an electrician, but you don't have the right tools. You know, a plumber don't use electrician tools. We have pouches on the side of us. We carried pouches. And if I was working in plumbing, I would have tools on my pouch that I needed for plumbing. If I was doing electric work, I'd have in my pouch. You got to have the right tools for the right and equipped for the right work that you're going to be doing. We're doing spiritual work. We're serving the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we got to be equipped correctly. So many people believe, and young boys and young girls believe, I've got this great talent. Boy, God's got to use me because I am so great. Boy, I want to tell you, I take a pen and I pop those balloons down at the college quite often. Oh, I'm smart and I'm clever and I'm and God's got, I'm gonna go out and do this for God and I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna build this for God because I'm smart and I'm clever and I'm talented and I'm a great orator and I've heard it all. And I said, anything you do, if God's not doing it through you, sit down and be quiet. Anything you do, if God's not doing it through you, sit down and be quiet. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think. Now what happened up in chapter 12, verse 2? Yeah. Now what's he saying to them now in verse 3? Don't think. Don't think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Oh boy, does that ever get out of realm by those that think of themselves way too highly than they should. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he goes on down, he's preparing them for equipping. And there are seven gifts that he's going to give them. Nobody was born with these gifts. These are spiritual gifts. Now over in Corinthians, they're sign gifts. Those are sign gifts. And most of those sign gifts have disappeared and dissipated. These are spiritual gifts. These are service gifts. And we're going to study all seven of them. And it'll probably take us a couple Wednesday nights to get through them. But we're out of time for tonight. So there we're having our mind in proper perspective with God so that I can discern, I can have that spiritual discernment. When I need to step back, when I need to act, react, how to act, and so forth, I got to have the mind of Christ, be able to test what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Then I won't be sitting around thinking how great I am. Amen. Amen. All right, Facebook friends, thank you for joining with us tonight on this Wednesday evening here. First Wednesday night in January 2021. We're one day closer to the return of Christ than we was yesterday. Hallelujah. I'm ready. Are you? Trust that you are. And looking to the eastern sky, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to the eastern sky. I'm looking to go up. So I pray that you're ready to meet the Lord. Thank you for being with us tonight. We'll be streaming live again Sunday morning at 9:30 Sunday school. We're hoping that our Sunday school teacher will be able to be back with us, Frosty, to teach. If not, I'll be filling in for him again. Then our morning service Sunday morning again at approximately 11 o'clock. Sunday evening, about 6:15. Love to have you with us. Thank you for connecting with us and studying along in the Word of God. So until then, stay safe, stay blessed. Thank you for being with us again on this Wednesday night. All right, thank you for being out tonight on this Wednesday evening. Let us stand, be dismissed in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this blessing that we have each week to come and meet here in the midweek. And Lord, it's not so much as us and all of that. It's the fact that you're here with us. Where two or three are gathered together, you're in the midst. And Lord, we know that you've heard our prayers tonight. We lay them again at your feet for you to send help in time of need. We collectively tonight say amen. Lord, send help. Bless the word of God tonight as it went forth. Strengthen us and help us in these trying times in which we live. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. Keep us safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for coming out this evening.